Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We've taken the last few days of 2016 to talk about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, and particularly to examine the account of the Annunciation, as it's generally called, the time when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she was going to bear a son, that she was going to conceive in her womb very quickly, almost immediately after the announcement, and that she would become the mother of a child who would turn out to be the long-promised Messiah. An astounding announcement, an astounding event. I think it's very difficult for us to wrap our minds around what Mary must have been thinking, how startled she must have been, how incredulous this announcement must have seemed to her at first. And yet we see that she was a woman of great godliness and great faith. And though she had some normal questions about it, when it was told to her very clearly as being a message coming from God, she did not question, she did not doubt, she did not shrink from either the privilege or the great responsibility along with the liability that this announcement brought to her. But she accepted it as a humble servant of God and a believer in the one who would save her from her sins, which was necessary because she, like all descendants of Adam, was in fact a sinner in need of a Savior. And so we're going to continue looking at this account on Friday, December 30, which is the last broadcast of this year. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for listening throughout the year. Thank you, those of you who have helped us financially to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. And it's not too late for a year-end gift to the Beacon Broadcast if it is postmarked before December 31 or by December 31. We would be happy, we would be most grateful to receive your gift. Well, the account is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and in it we have discovered so far that Mary is the object of gracious privilege. She is the instrument of immeasurable blessing flowing to her and through her to others, and she is a participant in miraculous activity. And that's where we get into the account of the virgin conception. And that might be a better name for it than the virgin birth. We generally talk about a virgin birth, and indeed, she was a virgin when Jesus was born, so we can accurately talk about the virgin birth. But the miraculous part was that she conceived a child without benefit of a man, without partnership with a man. It was a virgin conception. She conceived while she was a virgin. And that's what we're told in verses 34 and 35. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary has the normal questions about this. How can this happen? I am a virgin. And the angel tells her clearly what the solution will be. The child conceived in you will be the work of the Holy Spirit. God's power will accomplish the impossible. God is all-powerful. And so the power of the Highest will overshadow you, so that your son will be that Holy One. Holy because he will not inherit Adam's guilt, because he does not have a human father. He will not be Adam's son. He will be God's son, literally. He was God's son before he became Mary's son. He has always been God's son. The mystery of the Trinity tells us that God has always existed in three persons, namely Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So for all eternity, God has had a son, but now God will produce a son of human origin, a son of human birth. God will be incarnated in the body of a man, obviously a baby boy at the beginning, and that too will be the Son of God in this unique way, namely that he will literally be conceived of the Holy Spirit, not of a man. And that is totally unique in all the history of the world. That never happened before. That never has happened since. And that was necessary for Jesus to be an acceptable and qualified substitute for sinners. And so the angel is telling Mary, your son will be the Son of God. Your son will not be the son of Joseph. Your son will not be the son of any other man. Your son will be the Son of God. You know, whenever a woman becomes pregnant who is unmarried, and Mary at this time was unmarried, although being betrothed, things were a bit different in that day than they are in ours, and betrothal was not the same as engagement. Betrothal actually was a legal arrangement. A betrothal was recorded in the legal documents of the community where Mary and Joseph lived, namely Nazareth. And Mary and Joseph were considered husband and wife, but according to the social customs of that day, the betrothal period initiated a period of separation, usually lasting a year, until there would be a marriage ceremony and celebration, when the families would celebrate this union and when the husband and wife would come together in physical union. The marriage would be consummated, and they would begin living together as husband and wife. And there were a number of social reasons for this particular custom. So Mary's situation was not exactly like ours, but back to my original statement, whenever a woman who was unmarried, and Mary would fit that category in that the betrothal period had not yet come to conclusion, and she was not living with her husband and had not yet come together with her husband. She was in this betrothal period, a period of testing, a period to demonstrate fidelity and purity and so forth. One purpose of the betrothal period was, since the husband and wife did not come together for a whole year, if the woman should turn up pregnant during that time, the husband would know that she had been unfaithful to him and she had been involved with another man. That would make that clear. I don't think that was the main purpose for the betrothal period, but that was certainly one result that came out of it. But whenever a woman who is unmarried is found to be pregnant, the question almost always is, who is the father? Anybody who knows her really wants to know. Sometimes it's just simple curiosity. Sometimes it's more sensual interest and gossipy interest. But there is a reason for it, because every child has a father. And it's important to know who the father is. The father was as much involved in the production of that child as the mother, and is morally as responsible for the child as the mother, and ought to bear his responsibility. And so it's a legitimate question. Who is the father of this child? What did Mary tell people when it was discovered that she was pregnant before marriage, and people asked her the question, who's the father? And she said, God's the father. The Holy Spirit is the father. The angel told me that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you, and therefore also that holy thing or that Holy One, rather, who is born, will be called the Son of God. I don't know how many people Mary said that to. I don't know how many people asked. Maybe few did not. Few did. We do know that Mary left Nazareth and went to live with her cousin Elizabeth during the time of her pregnancy when she was showing. And we can understand exactly why she might do that. Because it is difficult to answer the question, this child's father is God, when that had never happened before and would never happen again. And you can imagine that a lot of people, perhaps a majority of people, would be highly skeptical and would be very slow to believe that statement. You see, Mary is taking upon her a great ignominy with this. She has great privilege, but there's great ignominy. But it is clear that Mary is the object of divine activity, and she will be, therefore, the testimony of divine power. For those who know her, she certainly knows this to be true. There's no way that she could become pregnant because she is, in fact, a virgin, and yet she has become pregnant. And here is the evidence of supernatural power. And again, as we have done all throughout this examination of Mary, we realize that there is a parallel to all of God's people. Though Mary's details are unique, nobody but Mary ever bore the Son of God in this way. Every Christian is a son of God and is a testimony of God's divine power. That's the only way we become the children of God. That's the only way we are born again by the Spirit of God. It is by the supernatural power of God that men and women are brought into union with Jesus Christ. It is a miracle. It is as much a miracle as what happened to Mary. It is not the same miracle that happened to Mary, though I'm confident that Mary was also a recipient of saving grace and therefore had the same miracle of the new birth that you and I have, if you are, in fact, a born-again child of God. But the miracle of the new birth is no less miraculous than the miracle that happened to Mary. There's so many reasons why we tend to forget that. We tend to think that this is just sort of commonplace. There are a lot of reasons for it. A lot of it is because of poor doctrine. A lot of it is because of the ease with which people make professions of faith that are not reflective of a divine operation within their soul. And there are a lot of reasons why we should not be encouraging that. But please understand, if you are, in fact, a regenerated child of God, you have, in fact, been born from above, that you are an object of God's power and God's miraculous grace, and you are as much a miracle and an evidence, a miracle of God, as much as Mary did. This is an astounding thing, that Mary should become the mother of a child without the partnership of a human man. And it is just as astounding that you and I should become the sons of the living God without anything that we have done or could do to bring that about. We are as able to bring about the new birth as Mary was by herself, apart from the Holy Spirit, able to bring about the virgin conception. Think about that and give God the glory. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.